Blog Talk Radio.
To know you better. See you kind of busy, so I guess I'll send a letter.
I had to bring mom in on this one.
Anybody grateful for God's blood?
Tell them about it, mom.
Oh, the blood that saved me, the blood that raised me, the blood that healed me.
Yes. Listen.
Thank you for the blood.
The blood
that saved my life.
And thank you for...
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Today, the interview is with Ms. Nicole Jones and Ms. Heather Smalls, who has a prison ministry. It is about Daryl Cook, who's in prison in Baltimore, Maryland, and about how he needs to be exonerated. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'll start with you, Ms. Heather Smalls. You ministered to Mr. Daryl Cook. Could you give every one thing I find out about the, about this case through change.org, the petition?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that I had started a petition to bring awareness to this case I became aware of it, and I became aware of it through my prison ministry and a mutual connection of Mr. Cook.
Okay, and this is Ms. Heather Smalls speaking.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Ms. Smalls, give a little details about the case, because Ms. Nicole Jones had contacted me with the change.org org petition, and I signed it, and I put it on my Facebook Messenger page for other people to sign. I know you needed 200 signatures. I believe you've got more than 200 signatures now.
Yes, ma'am. Our next goal is 500. We have reached 279.
Okay. All right. So tell me about Mr. Daryl Cook's case and why you feel that he should be exonerated, and tell the listening audience something about the case. Let them know what this case is about.
Sure, absolutely. So in Ridgeway, South Carolina, in Fairfield County, in October of 2001, there was a robbery that occurred at a convenience store, and it resulted in one person being shot. The victim had passed away about a year later from improper care of his wounds, which escalated the situation to murder. Mr. Cook was indicted in January of 2002 for robbery. During the trial, there were two witnesses that gave inconsistent testimony. The trial resulted in the jury being deadlocked at 7-5 twice. After the second time, the jury was given a coercive Allen charge, and then they came back about 25 minutes later with a guilty verdict. Even though there were at least two jurors that did not believe that Mr. Cook was guilty. When I found out about the case, I asked about the Innocence Project. Innocence Project was not involved because they only get involved in cases that there's DNA to prove that the person is innocent, and there was no DNA used in Mr. Cook's case. To my knowledge, I have not been able to look at all the court transcripts, but to my knowledge, there's been no DNA that was taken. But the reason I believe that Mr. Cook is innocent is because there was subpoenaed phone records that prove that Mr. Cook was not at the store or in the area at the time of the robbery, and they were not allowed to be used during the trial. The evidence of the timeline proving that Mr. Cook was not there was not allowed to be used. So I don't know. This case has bothered me since I heard about it, and I wanted to do something about it.
wanted to do something about it. And there's proof that he was not even there through phone records. Okay, and the eyewitnesses' statements were not steady. They were changed.
Correct. Okay. They were very inconsistent.
Okay, so he was indicted in January of 2002 in Fairfield County for armed robbery and grand larceny. Tell me about that.
So from what I understand about the situation, I'm not exactly sure how the police even narrowed him as a suspect.
We don't have that information as far as this is just public information that we gathered from the case text, which is public online.
Yes, it's public
so
online.
From reading
casetext.com, Cook versus Warden. And it's for July 14th, 2016. The case number is 0:15-2987-JFAPJG. All letters are capitalized. Okay, if any of you want to go online and look at this case at casetext.com, Paige J. Gossett was the United States Magistrate Judge. So basically, Ms. Heather, Ms. Smalls.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's basically wanting to be exonerated. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And he wants to be exonerated he's not guilty. Did he ever plead guilty?
No.
He's never pleaded guilty.
No.
Okay. All right.
No,
all right.
And when the jury had come back deadlocked, then that would be would result in what's called a hung jury, and then that would be a mistrial. The state of South Carolina apparently allows coercive Allen charges, and so the court had come back and told them basically, go deliberate until you get a verdict.
So this happened in South Carolina.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was in Ridgeway, South Carolina, in Fairfield County.
Okay, this was in Ridgeway, South Carolina.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And what county?
Fairfield.
Okay, so has this case got any publicity at all? Has there been any publicity shed on this? The jury came back twice. In my understanding, from the court documents that I'm looking at casetext.com, is that they were told to pretty much make a decision. Even though they came back twice, you know, with what I call acquitted, but deadlocked, kind of like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They came back twice. And,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it means when you have a jury trial, you have to have a unanimous verdict. And so everyone either has to find them guilty or everyone has to find them not guilty. And 7 of them found him not guilty, and 5 said guilty. And that they came back twice this way, and that should have resulted in basically the court didn't accept that, and it should have resulted in what's called a hung jury. And then that would have been what's called a mistrial, and then that would have led to a retrial of the case. Because South Carolina allows the coercive Allen charge, they were basically instructed to go deliberate until they came with a unanimous verdict.
So that's allowed in South Carolina?
Some states allow it, some do not. It says some, I've read that some states allow the
Allen charges
but some states deem it as coercive, so they don't allow it.
So
and
the
it would
phone
just end
record,
up being a yes, ma'am.
According to this, what he represented himself, he represented himself and it was filed, I believe, on July 14, 2016 in the United States District Court for the District of South Carolina. He represented mm-hmm. himself, am I correct? He not represented himself, but he gave his own petition, petition on Darren
that
T.
Was,
Cook.
Yeah, in
okay.
the 2016
so me,
instance, yes. Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
I was going to say, let me interject with that. That particular information that you're reading is when he was already incarcerated. This mm-hmm. was at another location, but the initial charge information is what Mrs. Smalls was reading when he was indicted in 2000. What was it, 2001, Mrs.
2002.
Smalls?
2002. He was indicted in 2002.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so that information that you were reading, I just wanted to interject there, Mrs. Butler, regarding that particular case text, because we were referring to the initial charge, and that was mm-hmm. in the 2002.
Okay. Okay. And this one was filed in 2016. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he filed this petition from prison. A writ
mm-hmm.
of habeas corpus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
So at that point, he was trying to, he didn't have any options. Like, he didn't have, nobody knew what to do to help him. I've been doing this for about 24 years, and this is the first time I've ever really gotten involved. There's a couple cases that's been brought to my attention, and I don't know. I'm ready for people to do the right thing. It's time. Like.
Okay. Yeah, it is exhausting and it does, you know, because this has been going on for 400 years. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
400 plus years just about, so. Yeah, it can be exhausting.
Yep.
So, Sir Darrell T. Cook is currently in prison.
Yes.
How is he doing?
His condition's okay. It's okay. He's doing all right, but he would be better, obviously, once he's able to go home and
be exonerated.
Overall, he's all right.
Okay. Now, Ms. Heather Smalls.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
So you started the petition on change.org. So what I'd like
mm-hmm.
to know is what reason did it give for the phone records and the inconsistency of the two people's testimony? Was that... Why weren't the phone records allowed in court, or were they allowed in court?
From my understanding, they were not allowed in court. And the other thing is there was a timeline that was supposed to be admitted that would prove that he was not there that was also not allowed in the court. I'm still not clear as to the specifics as to why they weren't allowed.
Now, this is the case from 2000 and...
2001 when it happened, yeah.
2001.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That we're talking about now, everyone. We're talking about the 2001 case, not the case
mm-hmm.
in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was, to the best of your knowledge, and according to his petition, it was not allowed in court.
Mm-hmm.
The phone records.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They were subpoenaed from the people that, like the other parties that were, you know, either receiving the phone calls or, you know, so the records were subpoenaed, but they weren't allowed to be used to prove that he wasn't there. And what happens far too often is you know, I don't have the specific details as far as like how this whole thing was, the investigation was run. But what tends to happen is they get a case, they don't really know, they don't have very many leads, you know, and then at some point they're like, okay, well, we just got to peg somebody so that we can get this off our desk. And,
so
you know,
basically,
I mean,
he got 75 years, in your opinion, and he got 75 years because they wanted to get this case over with. And each circuit court sentenced Cook to 45 years imprisonment for murder, 25 years imprisonment for armed robbery, and 5 years imprisonment for grand larceny, all sentences to be served concurrently, 75
correct.
Years.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. Yep.
So basically, it's an innocent man in prison.
Yes, ma'am.
Black man.
That's it. Yes.
Who's lost 20 years of his life over something he didn't do.
Correct.
And
he's not
evidence.
The only case I'm dealing with.
Okay, but let's stick to this
There's
one.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's
I understand.
Mm-hmm. So they got him for murder, among other things. So the so-called the victim, he died a year later. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
There's proof that he was not even there at the scene. That phone records to show that he was not there. Are these cell phone records, do you know, landline records? What kind of records are they?
I am not 100% sure if it was a cell phone, because I was thinking back at that time, too, like, did everyone have cell phones in 2001? So I'm not 100% sure. I don't know that. Miss Jones, do you know, are you aware?
Probably not.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
I'm not aware of that information, but you got to think this was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been a landline or mm-hmm. it could have been a cell phone, but we don't have that exact information.
It was probably a landline then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's more than likely a landline. So they're saying, he said on ground four that a trial judge erred by a line plan of a videotape known to have been tampered with by the deceased's daughter. This is public
mm-hmm.
knowledge here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how did they know that it was a, how do they know it was tampered with? Do you know that?
I don't know the specifics on how they. I'm not at liberty to answer that one because I don't want to say something that I'm not 100% sure on. Miss Jones, do you know anything about that?
No, I don't have that information either. But I do know from reading the case text when you were speaking about the allowing playing of the videotape, there was something that I read. I'm trying to, as we're talking, I'm trying to through. But I believe it was something that happened in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have put
Mr.
Cook at the age of, what,
13? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So as I'm reading through that, it looks like he something happened at that particular store at the age of 13. And so they used a videotape from the age of 13 as a witness, as evidence in the trial, which was what do they call it, inconclusive or something, because that was sort of irrelevant to what happened 5 years later. So yeah, but that's all the, I'm just trying to put the pieces together as I'm reading it, as we're doing
they were trying to say that because there was some incident when he was 13 years old that he somehow was responsible for this event, and that's completely ridiculous, as though, you know, he's the only person in the area that's ever done anything. And it just, I think it's absolutely absurd to even tie that
So they were allowed to bring out information about a 13-year-old minor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Even though he wasn't 18.
Yeah, but they wouldn't use the phone records to prove that he wasn't there. It's like, you know, you can...
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be more irrelevant.
Phone records to prove that he was not there. Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. So, has there been anything sent to the governor?
Yes, ma'am. I did that before doing the change.org petition, reach out to the governor. South Carolina has a application for like pardons and parole that the incarcerated people are allowed to fill out, and it's like $100 fee or something. I read through the whole thing, and I put that at the end of the petition because I'm like, in the case of someone who's innocent, that's not necessary. He doesn't need to apply for a pardon for something he didn't do. But I think that whole process needs to be looked into. And I told the governor that as well. And
you told the governor, okay. And basically they're breaking the backs of poor people, people who do not have significant wealth, basically.
Yeah.
People
like, I'm not
going to
look at your, exactly. I'm not going to look at your petition or your situation unless you give me $100. What? I don't know. That one made me heat it too. Sorry. but yeah. So I had written the governor, and I have not heard back from him yet. Then I started the petition, and then the next time I write, it'll be with hopefully at least 500 signatures, and then more as we go along, until the case gets noticed and he can be, you know, exonerated, or until we reach enough to get his attention.
Yes, there should be people calling his office, too, because this man has been in prison 20 years, and there's proof that he wasn't even at the scene, there at the scene of where it happened. He should be set free.
Yeah.
And see, that's the disturbing part for me. For me, it's disturbing because, as I mentioned before,
who
now
am I speaking to? Is this Ms. Jones or Ms. Heather Smalls?
This is Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones, I'm sorry. This is Ms. Jones. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
But I was just going to say what bothers me is that everybody talks about Black Lives Matter, but that's after the person is killed. But Black Lives Matter also with situations like this too. Like you said, the phone lines should be blowing up. People should have, you know, be calling. People should have some type of entrance, but they're not showing any entrance for whatever reason that they're not showing any entrance. But for me as a mother to a 7-year-old Black boy, it bothers me. I can't pretend like it's going to go away because it's not going to go away. And if I don't say anything, it's definitely not going to go away. I mean, this stuff happens every day. It happens every day. And for me, it's, as I said, as a mom, having a 7-year-old Black boy, I mean, what is the world going to look like when he gets 18 years old? It's probably going to be worse. So people should be calling. People should be concerned. People should be signing the petition. Now, I know that there are some people that may say, well, hey, you know, I don't want to get in it either way because I don't want to ruffle feathers. But if you don't get in it, then how is justice going to be served?
Nothing changes, right?
It's not going to be served. Nothing changes.
Justice is not going to be served.
Justice
You're
is
right.
not blind.
Yep.
Yeah. It's sad because this has happened so many times. I'm always seeing and reading about Black men, even some white people, but mostly Black men and some women who have been pardoned, who spent 30 and 40 years and 50 years in prison. They come back and find out that these people haven't did anything.
Mm-hmm. And you can't give those years back. It doesn't matter. You can, you know, you can give a monetary, like, oh, here's a settlement, but you can't give those years back. You can't recreate the babies that should have been born and the marriages that should have been had and the college graduations that should have been and all the things that should have been after the fact. I mean, people can still live. You can still do things, but you can't recreate the things that should have happened 20 years ago. All because somebody just wants to push this off their desk. Well, I mean, it's real people's lives.
And it's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible what's going on in America, and I hope Mr. Daryl T. Cook is exonerated, like you ladies are pushing for, and I'm going to really promote this show because I believe he's innocent. After reading everything, I do believe he's innocent.
Thank you for having us on. We appreciate being able
You're
to.
You're more than welcome. I don't know what to say. Mr. Daryl T. Cook is still in prison. Where is he at now? Yeah. Is he still in South Carolina?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Yes.
Still in Ridgeway. What's the name of the prison?
Ms. Jones, do you have that?
I don't have the name of the prison, but I do. He is still here in the South Carolina.
Okay. Well, it's noble what you ladies are doing. Ms. Heather Smalls and Ms. Nicole Jones from your, Ms. Heather Smalls, especially with your prison ministry and having met him through the prison ministry. Ms. Nicole Jones, I thank you for reaching out to me. I pray this show has helped. There are phone records to show that this gentleman is innocent, Mr. Daryl T. Cook, that he was not there, even there. So more than likely, we know that these are landline records, and you can't, back then, you could not take phones, carry phones with you everywhere you went. And, you know, you had to be at the house to use the phone. So, you know, because cell phones have been out, what, 17 years, 15 years, 16 years?
Yeah.
It was a landline. All right, so I thank you, ladies, for coming on the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. I thank you for taking the time to come on and sharing this case with the people who will listen to it later on. I'm going to send you a copy of it also to your email address once it's downloaded and everything. So thank you. Thank you very much for coming on the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. God bless you, and may God help Mr. Daryl T. Cook be exonerated.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much, and you enjoy
your day. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Bye.
I had to bring Mom in on this one.
Anybody grateful for God's blood?
Tell them.